All right, our next speaker is Schultz, and he'll be speaking on the effect of variable rate potassium application over multiple landscape positions on soybean yield.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Andrew Schultz, like you said. I'm working on my master's at South Dakota State in agronomy, and my presentation is on the effect of variable rate potassium application over multiple landscapes and positions on soybean yield. So first off, we're going to give you an introduction to the research I have started working on here in my first year in my master's. Then I'm going to go into experimental setup, then data collection, results, and finally a conclusion and a recommendation. So to start off, we all know that as soil properties and characteristics vary, we see variability in yield in a soybean field. So the same goes with landscapes. When we're going from the summit to the foot slope, there's going to be a lot of characteristics that are going to start changing, whether it be silicate clay content, cation exchange, moisture levels. A lot of characteristics change. Now with precision ag, we can now start to manage a lot of those differences over fields. So we can start varying fertilizer as it's needed, and that's kind of what I'm looking at with this research, is varying fertilizer based on need. So some of the soil properties I'm looking at right away is my available soil potassium, my electrical conductivity, which is a correlation between soil properties and crop productivity. We can look at, you know, a variety of things, whether it be cation exchange or texture or soil salinity. Now to begin, I looked at two different sites in South Dakota. One site was Flanger, South Dakota, and that was about 45 miles straight south of Astoria, South Dakota. The reason these sites were chosen was because they had variations in landscapes. There's a lot of different hills, foot slope areas, a lot of stuff I could really look at and set up different experiments on. Like I said, I used three different landscapes. As you can see in this picture, they were from the summit to the back slope to the foot slope. So they're kind of right next to each other. We could really look at differences in characteristics and differences in moisture and yield. Now, both of these fields were in a corn-soybean rotation. So the previous crop was corn, and they both did use some sort of cultivation. There were differences. One was conventional, another was strip-till. So that's something we have to look at as well. But since these are on-farm trials, I waited until V2 to set up my experiments. That way I could row all the crops. I could, you know, find areas where I could apply fertilizer and make sure they're within the rows. So what I did was I broadcast potassium between the rows of each crop. The rates I used were 0, which is my check, 67, 134, and 280 kilograms of potassium per hectare. Now, the source that I had was potash. The potash is about 60% potassium, so I had to do a few calculations, but it's also a soluble salt as well. Now, as far as experimental setup goes, at each landscape, at the summit, back slope, and foot slope, I used a experimental setup a lot like this one. I had three blocks, which within three of those blocks, I had four treatments from 0 to 280, and it was randomized over three blocks at the landscape position it was at. Now, within each treatment, I used six rows, which was roughly 76 centimeters planting width, and 7.6 meters long. Now, after I applied some of that fertilizer, I went back through and I tilled it in. Now, the reason I tilled it in, even though it's a soluble salt and can be carried into the soil with water, it's still going to move at a much slower rate. So I want to make sure that the potassium was right there at the root zone right away so it can be used by the plant that year. Now, before any fertilization, I went through and I soil sampled every single treatment I had. I went from 0 to 15 and 15 to 30 centimeters of depth, and I went ahead and took that back into the lab and did some soil analysis. As we start looking at data collection, my response variable I used was grain harvest. I measured that in kilograms per hectare. I also looked at stand counts in each relative experiment. And then again, I went ahead and looked at some soil analysis. I looked at electrical conductivity, available potassium, and pH. So as far as how I measured each or how I conducted the analysis on the soil, electrical conductivity and pH, I use a saturated paste method. I use NanoPure water to saturate the soil and went ahead and filtered it out. And the extract that I got, I used a Accumate Excel meter to measure the pH and the conductivity. With soil available potassium, I used a standard ammonium acetate extraction solution, and I used that in a ratio of 2 grams per 20 milliliters of extraction solution, filtered it, and then diluted it for purposes of precision. My flame photometer that I used only went up to 10 parts per million as far as my standards go, so I wanted to stay within those parameters. And for every 40 samples, I remeasured my standards in order to keep some accuracy. Now on to the fun stuff. Now, after applying this fertilizer, we had no idea what the potassium levels in the field were originally. As you can see, I went ahead and I averaged the potassium over both locations in tables. In Flandreau, we see that all of them were over 160 parts per million, which in South Dakota is the recommended rate at which we would apply potassium. The same story goes in Astoria as well. Now, even though they are over those 160 parts per million, we still saw some differences. We can see that we had differences in electrical conductivity over the landscapes, as well as average yield differences. So how I calculated these average differences was I took the control and I set that to zero, and then I took my treatments and I subtracted the control from them in order to find differences. So we saw some interesting stuff there. Now, in order to stand on a foundation where we can say we actually saw some significant differences, I looked at both the foot soap, summit, and back soap, as well as the treatments. Now, to start off, I used an ANOVA two-factor replication test to look at significant differences. We can see that in Astoria, there were some differences between foot soap and back soap, but as far as the summit position, which we kind of hypothesized that we would see the most differences, it was the same as foot soap and it was the same as back soap as well. Now, in Flandreau, we did see some significant differences. We saw that the summit had the greatest difference as far as comparing to back soap and foot soap. Now, when we started looking at our treatments, I used a 90% confidence interval in order to figure out whether the treatment had some differences compared to the control. Now, the reason why I used a 90% confidence interval was because confidence intervals are strongly correlated with significant differences, as if zero is not within the confidence interval, we do see significant differences. And as far as Astoria, South Dakota, the treatments were significant, as well as Flandreau. Now, how are we explaining these differences? What soil properties can we actually look at in order to figure out why we're seeing differences in yield? I used a correlation for both Astoria and Flandreau, and we did see that EC was strongly correlated with our yield. Now, as far as treatments I used, I only used the 0 and 60 treatments. Now, the reason why I did that was because when we started looking at the data between treatments, there were not a lot of differences. And as far as applying 280 kilograms of potassium per hectare, there may be some better economical rates we could use. So I just, for the sake of this presentation, used 67 kilograms per hectare. Now, we also see in the correlation that as EC increased, we saw decreases in yield and vice versa. Now, it was not significant in Flandreau, however, but we can still see the same trend. As far as a recommendation, we may be able to see some benefits from applying potassium at the summit area within a field at a 67 kilogram per hectare rate. Now, there's a lot of stuff that I still have to analyze as far as data. We don't know the mechanism of why it's happening. We don't know whether the management practices or the moisture within the soil is causing yield increases or decreases. And we're also looking at C13 levels as well to look at how much water was actually uptake by that plant. So there's going to be some future distinctions in what is actually going on, and I'm very excited to dig into some of that stuff and look at what we can find as far as benefits. As far as that goes, thank you all for coming and listening to my presentation.